the big kick in the rear in all of this is they felt pretty confident that there were teams interested in Zach LaVine at the trade deadline when Clutch Sports and Zach LaVine opted to have surgery. And the Bulls made that very clear in the press release, if you remember, that this is Zach LaVine and Clutch Sports opting to have the surgery. They felt they could rehab it and get him back on the court. And they were hoping that other teams would, when they gave him a physical, would see that as well. That really was a slap in the face of that relationship and why the Bulls are where they are right now.
Nicely done, Alex Kuhn. That was Joe Calley talking to you and Dan on Monday, right?
Yes, that was a very enjoyable conversation with Joe Calley.
And Joe Calley was talking about NBA free agency where the negotiation period began on Sunday afternoon. But he also brought up a point that we need to discuss more often when it comes to teams where at least some of the players, and typically the most talented ones who may be battling an injury, know that the season might not turn out the way you wanted it to. And that either for them or for the team, things are not looking good or positive or like you're going to make the playoffs. A play-in doesn't count. It's a different name. It's just a different name.
Different name. Statistics don't go anywhere. They don't exist.
I like the play-in tournament because I just like competition, but that's just if you like competition.
Did you know that, Alex?
I found that out after Kobe White scored 40 against
doesn't count.
That never happened.
It never happened.
It never happened.
He didn't do that.
There's actually a caveat to that. I forget what it is exactly. Like, they count towards something, but not what you need them to count toward. It's like they count for their own thing.
Do they count towards somebody making more money?
They should. Like, that should count toward Kobe White making more money.
I mean, I guess that if you're looking at it from the standpoint of you can show the performance to the teams and be like, yeah, I did this in the play-in game. Like, this is the only record of it, though. Me showing you this video.
Yeah, there's a mixtape.
Right, because the statistics don't exist for it. It doesn't live in the playoffs. It doesn't live in the regular season because that would be unfair. That would be adding an 83rd game and an 84th game to a season.
Well, what about the in-season tournament? What about that?
Lives in a different place, kind of.
You know, like when the Lakers raised the banner alongside their
they did
world
raise a banner
championship.
And then fired a coach. And then hired another coach who does a podcast with the star. And then they drafted the star's son, but they were like, that's not why we drafted him. Okay.
It's okay if you did. You have the best player. It's fine.
If you just want to make LeBron happy, it's totally fine.
Okay.
But just say that.
Again. Just say it.
Just say it.
We're cool with it. So here's the thing. Joe Calley's statement about Zach LaVine got me thinking about a lot of other players. And, you know, actually, we were talking about the Cubs middle infield. Nico Hoerner is playing with a broken hand, and I don't understand that. That needs to be discussed in all of this.
Maybe the hand's starting to feel better because we're starting to see him have some more pop lately.
Yes.
Maybe.
And Nico Hoerner appears on the afternoon show, so I know he'll talk to the afternoon show about it. But it also illustrates something else that is going on. Is, for example, like when Khalil Mack knew that the Bears season in 2021 wasn't going to be what he thought it was. Is it okay that he had season-ending surgery? You know, I feel like players do that every now and then, where if they know that they've got a nagging injury, they'll opt for that ender to A, because they know the team is not going to go anywhere, and B, because they've got to get it done probably anyway. More players are playing hurt than we realize. But it also made me think about in-game decisions and the famous quote, losing is a disease, and how bad decisions compound on each other on bad teams because it's just all part of the same issue.
And it's like the other side of that coin is Eloy. Like, here's Eloy. He's clearly not 100%. Who knows if he'll ever be 100%.
Right.
But he keeps going out there. And I think that he's a great example of, you know, you're going to just hurt yourself.
But it makes him happy to play.
It does. It makes him happy to play. But to your point, are you doing it at a detriment to yourself and your career? Because you're like, I got to get back and play. I got to get back and play. Well, you're about 75%. You're going to look bad out there. You're probably going to play badly out there. But that thing that we, in kind of the movie way of looking at the player that toughs it out,
right?
You get the respect in the moment of playing through something, but at what cost? And the cost for a guy like Eloy is his next contract.
Right. Or if you were Michael Kopech playing through that knee injury from a couple of years ago, what did that do for you? Did it just make you more hurt? And we can extend it well past the White Sox. I mentioned Khalil Mack, for example. Zach LaVine, we just heard about.
Or Nico Hoerner.
Nico Hoerner playing through a broken hand. And I know a lot of that is expected. But it is all a balancing act. Separately, I think, is the thing that happens where mistakes happen in games when you're losing because it compounds on itself. I think there's something to it. It's not statistically measurable, but we see it happen.
You know, the guy that we all think we're going to find this out about at the end of the year? Dansby Swanson.
Yeah, it might be Dansby.
Mm-hmm.
We know he was on the injured list earlier, but how bad could that injury actually be?
And the thing is that if he isn't injured, there's a bigger, much bigger problem. If he is injured, then what we'll hear, whether it's from counsel,
right,
or Carter or Jed or Dansby himself. I shouldn't do that. We're doing like serious conversations.
He's never going to come on the show.
Not again. Ever. I like the way he says it, though. That's what...
It's his accent.
You're damn right it is. But it wouldn't surprise anyone if we found out that he had a piece of cartilage in his knee that he was playing through, and maybe he was getting it drained every couple of weeks or whatever it is. None of us would be surprised and be like, oh, that's why he was a 600 OPS in 2024. Oh, that makes sense. And so the question then becomes, who are you helping when you do the, I'm tough enough, I can make it through? We can even take it outside of baseball. How many times have we talked about the person who comes to work sick and it's like, just stay home?
Well, but you can't catch injuries from one another, although it sure feels that way at times.
The White Sox look like a team that...
The Cubs pitching staff. But when it comes to illness, you can catch that from other people.
You can, but it also might hamper your performance. Like, it could, if you're sniffling and sneezing and coughing, and you do a talk show, for example, or you're just in an office, like, and you're like, I need a break, I gotta go blow my nose, like, all this stuff. And you see this with guys that play these sports where...
We glorify the Michael Jordan flu game.
Absolutely. And he performed, though.
Like, that he did.
He
ate the whole pizza. Nobody else was there to eat it.
He took that personally. But just
come back to Chicago, Michael Jordan. You weren't at the Ring of Honor game. You have a whole team competing that you love, that you said you loved, this weekend on the street. And you're not here. What the heck?
If you're Marcus Jordan...
Do you know how many people wear your shoes around these parts?
If you're Marcus Jordan, have you been walking around this week going, wait a damn minute?
I see all these 2311 signages. And
I was a much better college player than LeBron was. I mean, than Bronny was.
Dude,
I didn't get drafted into the league.
That's, you know who that is a question for? Your co-host tomorrow. I have a feeling there will be some
Tony
hot
Gill?
Takes between you three.
Let me make sure I'm right about that, but I think I'm right about that. I think Marcus Jordan's college career, especially at UCF, was pretty good.
Well, he showed all of us now, didn't he, with that relationship? Wow. I think there's two different things that happen on teams that know that they're not going to be, they're in it, and they want to win it, but they're not going to win it. Is there's that. And then there are like mental mistakes that happened, like with Luis Robert 2 days ago, where there's a short fly ball and you hold on to it because.
Yeah, I was right. In 2011, for the UCF Knights.
Yes.
Marcus Jordan averaged 15 points a game.
Well.
How many did Bronny average? Six?
Would you look Six. At that?
Okay.
But Michael Jordan was never out there saying, I want to play with my son on the same team.
No, but he could have been like, you going to draft my son or I'm going to do something.
I'm going to go to the Wizards and
I'm not going to give you any more shoes.
Empire.
Hey, how about that? You're not going to get any more shoes. Unless you draft my son.
There could have been ultimatums there.
Damn right. Anyway.
Maybe there was, and that's why he doesn't come back. No, I'm just...
we're being holiday ridiculous.
You know what?
Yes, I am.
Alex, that's awesome. That's actually... That's as good of a conspiracy theory as there is. The reason that Michael Jordan doesn't come back is that he tried what LeBron did, and the Bulls said no. So he was like, I will curse you forever. I will never come back to your Ring of Honor ceremonies or whatever.
I want to see who they drafted in the 2012 NBA draft in the second round. I got to find that out.
Okay.
And I will get back to you on that.
Did you ever see the meme that was like, men will just look up the 2021 NBA draft at midnight on a Tuesday just because? And I was like, it's me. I'm men.
Yeah. All of us that do this for a living, like we do.
We all do that.
We do have those weird moments of you're like, oh, yeah, I remember blank, blank guy. Remember that season where he blank, blanked? And then you go look it up. And then people look at you weird. And they're like, why are you just stuck on your phone? Because I'm looking up statistics.
Yeah. I mean, at all times on my phone, in many browsers, there's a browser open for like MLB team hitting stats.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet that says that a lot of men do that as therapy, like instead of therapy. But in 2012, the Bulls did not have a second round pick.
Oh, okay. So all right.
They're off the hook there.
But I mean, they could have signed him as an undrafted free agent.
They could have.
Look on my phone, 2024 MLB team hitting statistics. I knew it.
Yeah, that's what this season, the worst case scenario Cubs have done to all of us.
But they're not making business decisions right now. But I do openly wonder if some of the mistakes that we have seen and some of the, like hitting is contagious. We talk about that. Some of those 1-2-3 innings compound on themselves because they're losing.
How bad does it have to be before we start seeing that, though? Like, do we get to August and Dansby's like, you know what?
Shut it down.
My knee really hurts, guys, and we're 17 games out of first place.
I think the trade deadline is the right measuring stick. And, you know, here's something we haven't also brought up. We know that this management has said, and we'll talk to Sahadev about it, I think, at noon in a positive conversation or a constructive one anyway, that they said, well, if we're competitive at the trade deadline, then we'll add more. That was something that this team said.
What constitutes competitive?
Well, here's my issue. Did you do enough to get to that point? Like, are you already setting yourselves back because of what happened here?
What? Well, I guess you've got 3 weeks. You've got some time
for a miracle to happen.
I mean,
and part of those 3 weeks, Lawrence, contained an All-Star break.
Yeah, I'll be in Dallas.
Yeah, have you told the people your plan yet? Like, everybody listening?
Yeah, I'm going to SEC. Well, I don't think I've told the people. I'm going to SEC Media Days.
So you're going to find that guy who wears the Alabama National Championship ring on his head. And he's not in the media. He's just there.
He's just there. He's outside the Omni in Dallas. That's where he is.
I went to Big 12 Media Days at the Omni in Dallas.
Yeah, I think that as the mission creep of the SEC to be from sea to shining sea.
Are you going to ask Texas A&M about how they feel about Schloss leaving for Texas and Texas joining the SEC now?
No, I don't plan on doing that.
What about their excellent record in the SEC since they've been there?
How about how much money they still owe Jimbo?
I think you should ask about all of those things.
I'm just going to, I just want to observe. Like, I just want to go. It's like one of those things where I haven't.
You need to see the spectacle.
I really like college football. And I think that it might be something in September, along with Bears coverage, that we might want to do more of, considering that both baseball teams could be completely done in September. I think we should be doing more college football overall. Now, this is my own personal bias.
Well, you know how I feel about college football.
I know. And I think that we could do more of it. And especially on this show, where one of the hosts has a Heisman vote, we should probably do more college football.
The person who has the Heisman vote is neither of us.
Correct. But I like it, and we're in a very weird, we're at this weird like inflection point with college sports. We're basically, don't let Dr. Jim Phillips hear me say this, there's two conferences now. There's the SEC and there's the Big Ten.
If you had told me when Texas was on the precipice of conference realignment when I was covering them in 2011, that the Pac-12 would cease to exist.
It's the Pac-2. It's so sad.
They, at the time, seemed so forward-thinking. I know we talked about it a little bit with Dave Revson, but the USC-UCLA movement to the Big Ten was just absolutely earth-shattering at the time, because you knew it wasn't going to be the end.
Yep, and then you get Washington and Oregon to follow them. Have you gone? Look, we talked about this earlier in the week. Have you gone to the Pac-12's website?
No.
It's Alex, you hadn't done it yet, right?
I'm doing it right now.
I can't. Man.
It's the Pac-2. Oregon State and Washington State are hanging on.
Well, they own the rights to everything now, yeah.
Yes, they got all the rights and they got all the monies. And it, I mean, it, this went bad because they had a terrible. Yeah, see that face right there that you made, Alex? Exactly.
Yeah.
That you just went, aw. Like,
yeah,
that's too
just
bad.
Sad.
It's too bad. But I think that if I were in charge of the Pac-2, and maybe I am, maybe I didn't get the letter that said, hey, Lawrence, you've been drafted to be in charge of the Pac-2, I would tell them.
It's the best my abs ever were.
Pac-2, the two-pack, Shakur. I would say what you should do, they should go to the Mountain West and go, look, why don't you guys let us rebrand? Instead of the Mountain West name, you guys are going to, we're going to join you, you're going to join us, and we're going to call this the Pac-12. Instead of us joining the Mountain West.
That's a whole separate discussion. I think that does have to do with TV rights, though, right?
Well,
you've got to have enough like weight and leverage to be able to redo one. And by themselves, those two schools do not.
They had a commissioner who was not forward-thinking.
But was forward-thinking. Like, that's the confusing part. Forward-thinking, but then kind of rested with just Colorado and... Who is the other school?
No, I'm talking about with the television thing.
Oh, yeah.
The Pac-12 network was not good.
It was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I lived on the West Coast for a while. Actually, first job was in Corvallis at Oregon State.
Get out of here.
Yeah, covering summer baseball there. And you couldn't even get it in some spots on the West Coast.
Well,
you couldn't watch the games.
The Longhorn Network was its own thing until like 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Longhorn Network just shut down. Did you know that we did the math when it came out and that was ESPN's eighth property? It was indeed the Ocho?
That the Longhorn Network was the
ESPN's
Ocho?
ESPN's eighth network at the time, yeah.
That's hilarious. Wait, is it two Tyler Day today?
It is a two Tyler Day.
Get out of here.
Buterbaugh is in the house.
Buterbaugh is ready to do some Cubs baseball.
Oh, so we had Ferengul and Buterbaugh.
Yeah.
Checking the weather, making sure that this...
Oh, well, they better play.
We'll see.
Because we're not hanging out.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, I have another job to go to.
There's no... There's
that
no,
doesn't surprise me, Liz.
There's no storms or anything like that.
This is the no days off show, by the way. I've labeled that myself. Like, just everybody just works.
Yeah.
You guys love to work.
All of
you.
A lot.
I'm working tomorrow. I'm working Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm working Sunday.
We like to work. Our jobs are fun. So even though it's hard work, it's, you know, it's still pretty fun.
This is true.
Yeah, it's not like I'm doing surgery on something here.
Rocket surgery?
Yeah, I said that yesterday. That was a joke for anybody listening.
Yeah, people didn't get it. Like, and they should.
They didn't?
There are people who didn't get it. There are people in the text lines yesterday that didn't get it.
They thought that I didn't know what a rocket scientist and a brain surgeon were.
You know how it goes.
That's an easy joke to make.
Of course it is. It's fine.
Oh, you stupid woman. It's not rocket surgery. What's on the back of your backpack at an airport?
It's just like when you do, one, this doesn't mean anything to me, and B, you know, like people
I do that all the time. Yeah. A and two.
Yeah.
All the time.
People don't get it. We will have Cubs baseball today. We will have the finale of their series against the Phillies. Pregame will start at 12:45. When we come back...
Oh, another point about the injury thing, by the way. It's not like you can just ask another player about if somebody's injured or not. They get paid based on their numbers, just for the record. That's not exactly something that people are going to talk about.
It's the truth. When we come back, Layla has been working on NASCAR coverage for NBC5 and NBC Sports Chicago.
You too have, if you've been driving around town.
So she's going to catch us up on what we need to know and what we should be looking for this weekend. That's next here on The Score.
Who won at Rockingham? Who won at Darlington? Where are the results of the race? And who won the Goody 500?
Oh, Dan. I'm glad he took today and tomorrow off. That was kind of shocking.
So we can talk about NASCAR?
I mean, we are going to talk about NASCAR. Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't take days. I'm glad that maybe it's the stress of working with the two of us that he's been like, I need to take days.
Fair.
And I'm good with that. I think that he should take those days. And then we could come in here and do like our artsy stuff.
Like that last segment where we kind of talked about business decisions, but made a business decision on the segment.
it's like, you know, like I always say this. I have to explain this for people. There's a woman named Helen. Helen is the lead singer of a band called Sade. When the band doesn't have Helen in it, the band is called Sweetback. So this is like Sweetback. Like we're like, oh, we're going to go out. We're going to do our like jazz medley stuff that we like to do. That's how it works.
I like it.
And then Helen will be back here on Wednesday when we're all together.
But we're not like Soundgarden and then Velvet Revolver.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of different bands that we could say that we're Nirvana and we're Foo Fighters right now.
Oh, yeah.
We could do that.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. There's all sorts of breakout things. We can be New Edition, but when you and I are together, we're Belle Biv DeVoe.
Ooh, I did not know that until right now.
Wait, what?
I don't know. New Edition was a little before my time.
They were Belle awesome.
DeVoe was not.
That was right in your wheelhouse, Belle Biv DeVoe.
So, also a valuable lesson.
That yes.
Valuable lesson taught in that song.
But that, by the way, that was first said by KRS-One 3 years earlier.
Of course it was.
Going back to like history of rap. Jimmy hats are now in style because you can't trust a big butt and a smile.
Man, men don't trust anything. But that's them not trusting themselves.
That's the line, though. But then we recently found...
KRS-One requires people to react.
That's right. We did find out, though, that song was what we thought it was. That the three guys had all slept with the same girl and they all had a little problem.
Whoopsies.
A little problem was cleared up, but... they all had a little problem.
It's a bad way to find out.
Yeah.
Okay, so NASCAR.
Right. Now back to NASCAR.
Okay, the cool thing about the Chicago street race is not only do you get to turn left, but you also get to turn right.
Oh, that's right, because this race, you're allowed to do that.
12 turns. It's more like an hourglass, less like an oval.
You did it last year, right?
I did, yeah. But the problem was we had record-setting rain.
That was
over the weekend, 4 inches in a single day.
I couldn't believe like how much rain we were getting and that they raced.
And it was kind of surprising that they were able to actually pull it off given what occurred. So two races this weekend. Saturday is the Loop 110. That's the Xfinity Series race. Grand Park 165, the amount of laps. That is the Cup Series race. And yes, we have specials on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm hosting one tomorrow at 6:30. And then we have another one at 2:30. These are also on our streaming channels, like the NBC Chicago streaming channel. They'll be live at 6:30 on that on Friday, and then live at 2:30. We've got an hour coverage, and it's pretty cool. Like, some of the interviews we're already getting. Last year, I got to talk to Dale Jr. This year, Dale Jarrett will join me. We have a pretty big guest, I think, for Sunday as well.
That you can't say?
Not yet, because we're still confirming. I still just want to confirm. I'm pretty sure, like 90% sure, but I want to be like 99%. But because things occur, you know, people, broadcast crews and stuff like that. But the thing is if you're looking for somebody to cheer for, last year, the guy who won drove for a team partially owned by Pitbull.
That's right.
Trackhouse.
Mr. 305.
Yeah, it was Shane Van Gisbergen. He's not driving this year, but he had experience in a street race. But the cool part is now they all do. All the NASCAR drivers do.
Is Bubba racing this year?
Bubba also has his block party on Friday.
So, and I mean, last year it was right around the corner for me. I wonder if it is this year. And right in Washington Park?
Let me look at the
Because that's where he had it last year, and it was really amazing to see. And I know that they've already done, NASCAR has done some outreach to black youths here in Chicago.
Yes, and of the youths, too.
And Bubba's party was in Washington Park last year, and I remember walking over there, and him kind of explaining NASCAR to people, and it was awesome.
It's on the west side.
Oh, he's doing west side this time.
It's at Douglas Park.
Great.
And it is Friday afternoon. I think it starts at 5. I got to check.
All right.
Yeah, doors are open to the public at 5.
See?
And it's here's what you can do. Like, Bubba Wallace's show car is going to be there. There's going to be NASCAR iRacing simulators, and that's how the drivers figured out the course last year. That was the only training they had before qualifying.
Ah.
So that's pretty neat.
Where are you on race day? Like, where will you be?
I'll be at the NBC Sports, and the NBC sets are next to each other.
Okay, so on
NBC
the track.
Five, no, I'll be at Buckingham Fountain.
Okay, at Buckingham. Because I'm wondering if you...
But then we also have a press box, like a credentialed media press box I'll be in to watch. And then I get to hang out on pit road with the, you know, the earmuffs on. And...
Okay, so that's what I wanted to know. Did you do that last year?
I did.
So what does it feel like when the cars go by?
Super cool. It is exactly what you think it is. It's a lot of like... sound effects, like the rumbling of the pavement underneath you. They all go by really, really quickly. It's kind of surprising. Pit road, one of the coolest things is the numbers that are lit up. You know how they attach them with the signs so everybody knows where to go. They were putting together pit road 2 days ago when I was there live at 5. You could see it starting to come together. They put up the concrete barriers and then we're setting up the numbers so everybody knew where to go. But it is something to behold. Like the scene of the cars driving with the NASCAR race graphics and the city behind with the lake, that was a trip. Like it was something to behold. Marty Snyder called it a love letter to Chicago, which I think is pretty cool. But you know, there's also music. Like there's a whole house music set.
Yeah, I heard.
Did you know about that? It's like Wayne Williams. And,
yeah, that there was that. I heard that there's a... a bunch of artists that are going to be in, too.
Yeah, Buddy Guy's a part of this year. So, let me see here.
You ever seen the video of Buddy Guy getting the police escort through Blues Fest?
No, but that sounds pretty great.
Like, the crowds are on each side of him, and then there's, like, a bunch of police officers, and Buddy Guy is literally playing his guitar while getting his police escort.
That sounds about right.
Let me blow your mind with something else. Let me hit you with some knowledge.
Okay, and then I have the lineup. This is pretty cool on July 6th on Saturday. It is a house music scene.
So Ludacris, you know.
Luda.
Ludacris, and you know, he had the song with Shauna, lick you from your head to your toes. Shauna is Buddy Guy's daughter.
Yeah, my face is just frozen. Okay.
And I went to high school with her.
No way. The stories. Saturday, July 6th on the main stage, Bad Boy Bill, Byron Stingley, Ten City, Chippy, Chuck the Voice Roberts, Curtis McLean, DeJ, The Good Girls, Liddell Townsend, Marshall Jefferson.
DeJ.
Thank you.
She used to come to the house.
Oh my God, you talked about her earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Wild. Okay, I always say DeJay because of somebody, some athlete.
No, DeJay.
No, I know, but I always read it as that because of an athlete I covered, a college.
So
player.
We actually have, like,
and then Wayne Williams is also part of this, as including the Out Here Brothers and Ralphie Rosario and White Knight.
Alex, if you look in our vault, there is a song in there by DeJay called "Brighter Days."
Love it.
It's probably my favorite house song. Now, it doesn't hurt that the remix of it, because there's a bunch of versions
of it. I'm sure
it.
I've probably heard it. I just didn't know who it was.
It's, I need.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Brighter days. That's DeJay.
Oh. What? And you know her?
Well, I mean, I've met her. I wouldn't say that I know her. I've met her, but my brother knows her very well.
Also, 2311 Racing. That is Michael Jordan. That is
That's Bubba, right?
Isn't yes, it? Bubba, Denny Hamlin, and Tyler Reddick. Tyler Reddick is driving the 45 car, aka you know why it's number 45. Jumpman logo is on it. He finished third in Nashville. So if you need somebody, that's a guy who you want to look for.
This is a straight banger. This heat. So yeah, DeJay will be there.
DeJay, love it. Thank you.
Makes me feel better. Like it's like there are certain songs that I feel like are very Chicago. That's one of them.
Percolator.
Obviously. But even like No Problems by Chance to me is like a Chicago anthem.
That's a segment too. Like the Chicago sports songs that you need to be in your life.
But not even just for sports songs, like just like I hear No Problem and I'm just like, man, that feels good. Lupe Fiasco's Kick Push.
Oh, yeah.
That is like, that feels like the first time that you can open your windows after a long winter in Chicago. The beginning of that song feels like the world is bright and warm.
Very nice composition.
Lupe's got a new album out. It's pretty good, too.
Well, so there you go. Big name acts. I know there's a bunch of like Lauren Elena and a bunch of country acts as well. Chainsmokers are back because they weren't able to do that last year.
Oh, that's right, because
the rain.
Everything broke bad last year.
Yes.
You're right about like the postcard and like the love letter to Chicago too. I have to say,
well, that
like,
was a Marty Snyder riff, and Marty's great.
I'm probably against it being here, but after watching the perseverance of it last year, I was like, you know, I'm glad that they streamlined it.
Right. The setup time is not as much.
It feels a lot easier than what happened last year. Last year it felt like, let's shut down downtown for 3 weeks. And like, that's not good for anybody.
And listen, like the race is on NBC. So I know more about it, but that's the extent of it here. The race is on NBC. So I've done a lot of work connected to it because the race is on NBC.
Had you ever done any NASCAR before?
No, but it's with you. You grow up with it.
Yeah.
Where I come from, you know? So, like, it's part of you in a way.
I mean, the list of things that you've covered.
Bowling.
The bowling bleep is amazing.
The things I do for NBC.
I mean, Olympic hockey across the world, doing a NASCAR.
Your typical stuff like college football. But like at Texas, you know, I covered swimming and diving and track very extensively because of the people who were at the school at the time. They were Olympians, like Sonia Richards Ross, for example. Or,
wow.
Or Brennan Hansen and Ian Crocker and Aaron Pearsall for the swim team. Yeah, it's interesting how it all kind of intersects.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad. I'm looking forward to seeing how some of this goes. And it was pretty easy for me to get here to work today. So that's good. And I think it'll be easy for me to get home or if I want to go out.
Is you got to show me love, DeJay?
No, it's Robin. It's Robin S., I believe.
Yeah. Good question, Texter.
And yes, that's why Luda 779 Texter. That's why Luda includes 708 in his area code songs, because he spent a lot of time in the 708. And I believe early in life, the 217.
Luda is getting very commercially friendly these days.
Yeah, he's smart. He's always been a businessman. when you can sell 350,000 CDs out your trunk and you don't have to worry about a record company, that puts you in a good position to negotiate going forward.
But we talk about like Snoop Dogg at the Olympics. Luda might be getting the same like corporate come up.
Let me marry a couple of things that we've already said. Ludacris, to me, the best acting job that he ever did was in a 3-episode arc of Law and Order Special Victims Unit where he played Ice-T's nephew.
What? I thought you were going to say the Fast and Furious.
No, sure. No one's acting well in that movie.
You know, you can judge or you can learn a lot about somebody by how many Fast and the Furious movies they've seen. Tyler's not even in here. Alex, how many Fast and the Furious movies have you seen?
I believe 3.
Is Tyler in there? Can he answer?
He is not in here. I can text him, though, to find out.
Tyler Biederbach.
I've seen all of them.
All of them?
How many
and
are there again?
They're 9.
9.
Even the one going to space?
Yes, that was number 9.
How is...
Oh, I guess I've seen 10. And there's one
Vin
more left.
How is Vin Diesel's t-shirt always clean?
It doesn't make any sense. Neither does them going to space in a Pontiac Fiero.
And you know who else's t-shirt is always clean? Carmy and the Bear. How? Come on, guys.
Everyone keeps telling me that I need to jump in on that show.
You do.
And then I hear people say season 3 is garbage. And I'm like, well, then why do I need to jump in on this show?
I've only seen the first 2 episodes of season 3, but I think you should watch it.
All right. I'll put it on the list. I still haven't watched fully The Chi yet. Still haven't watched that yet. And my guy Jason Weaver is on that show.
There's a lot. There's a lot we got to do. There's a lot during your All-Star break you got to do other than go to SEC Media Days.
Alex, do you know who Jason Weaver is?
I do not.
Did you ever watch The Lion King?
I did.
He was the voice of The Lion King singing.
What?
Yeah.
We're so late to break.
I know.
Do you want to do a high noon or no?
I have a really good high noon that we both can play around with, if that's okay. Unless you have a high noon that's better than my high noon, then we could do your high noon.
Nah, I mean, it's there.
All right, let's... We'll do high noon.
We could. It's interesting, but it's not like epic.
I want to throw something past you. All I'll say is we tend to only talk about one person in this regard, but you'll be shocked at how many other people are in the same boat and we don't talk about them.
What?
It's next here on The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
We try to talk about baseball, but then we started talking about how hip-hop has turned 50 and House has turned 40, and that has been the overarching theme of this Independence Day show. Just in the break, we were talking about Joel McHale and the Bear.
Yes, because I haven't watched The Bear.
He's not that guy in real life, but man, can he play that guy.
Yeah, apparently he's a great guy in real life.
Yeah. Acting. It's a thing.
Genius!
Business decisions were discussed. Why your favorite player may decide he's out for the season because he probably had a problem and there's no use fighting anymore sometimes. You got to fight your battles and pick and choose them and whatnot. You know, also lose the battle, win the war type of thing. We're in the darkest Cubs timeline, speaking of Joel McHale shows.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
And that's it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Sahadev Sharma is going to join us at noon.
Also, Murka.
Murka.
It's starting to get a little sunnier out, but I feel like I am smart for working today because I can't be at a pool.
Yes, you are.
Oh, and NASCAR. And we have a lot of NASCAR coverage on NBCChicago.com, too, if you need some info beyond our casual discussion.
So, hit the thing, Alex. The high noon.
Yes, Miss Wiles.
It's high noon.
So you know how this time of year we all celebrate Bobby Bonilla and Bobby Bonilla Day because he gets his $1.2 million every July 1st and he's still got, I think, another 12 years or whatever of that money coming in.
You know what's also funny is it took the massive Mets payroll for me to not think about it as much.
Yeah.
Like it took the current Mets payroll for me to be like, oh, this isn't that much anymore.
Well, he's not the only guy that's still getting deferred contract money. Get this. One of those deferred contracts ended this year. Ken Griffey Jr. got $3.59 million of deferred money through 2009 per year through 2009 through this season.
What?
Yeah.
From who?
From the Reds. Because remember he signed that massive deal with the Reds?
Oh, yeah.
Manny Ramirez is still on the books.
For whom?
For the Red Sox. He had an eight-year, $160 million deal. Part of that deal was that $32 million was deferred. So he gets $2 million every year until 2026.
Yeah, Manny.
Matt Holliday.
Whose son is Jackson.
Yeah, the Holidays are trying to take over baseball. He got a deferred contract from the Cardinals, and it started paying him in 2020. He'll get $1.5 million between now and 2029.
So Matt and Jackson Holliday are both on MLB payrolls?
Isn't that crazy?
Okay, LeBron.
Another star from our era, Layla, Todd Helton, just stopped getting deferred payments last year.
But does he still have that cool restaurant at Coors Field?
Probably.
Or Bar and Grill, whatever it is.
And was Peyton Manning's backup quarterback, right?
And is in the Hall of Fame.
He was getting deferred payments from 2014 through 2023. Max Scherzer has some deferred payments. $15 million of deferred payments from now until 2028.
From everyone, because he's been on a million teams.
Get this, Brett Saberhagen.
What?
In December of 1991, Saberhagen was traded to the Mets, and his tenure with the team was disappointing for the most part. Similar time frame as like Bobby Bonilla, the Mets ownership getting Ponzi schemed.
Oh, yeah, the right? Wilpon.
Yeah, so Saberhagen is going to receive $250,000 until 2029.
That's it, man.
He got 25 years of deferred payments from the Mets. And Chris Davis.
That's the way to go. Be sneaky about it.
Chris Davis will receive $3.5 million annually in deferred payments from now until 2032.
My word.
In addition, Davis will receive another $1.4 million from 2033 to 2037.
That Baltimore contract went down like that? That's how they like deflated that balloon?
Yes. He'll be getting money from them until he's 51 years old.
For like what? Two good years of production?
Yes.
How many years of production did he have?
Well, I mean, his production was great the whole time. It just looked ugly.
No. The last couple years of that were real bad. He went like 0-for-50, and I love him.
Yeah,
like,
but
I was
then
a fan of his.
He would always end up, because there were the two Chris Davises, right? And they both kind of did the same thing.
Well,
and the other Chris Davis hit 247 like 4 years in a row.
But Baltimore Chris Davis was a world beater. Like, he had power numbers beyond belief.
I think the other Chris Davis did too. This Chris Davis had almost 300 home runs. And let's see what those last years, like you were saying.
No, there was a streak where he went like 0-for-50 or something.
The 18 really and 19 atrocious. Seasons were really bad. He hit 192 and he slugged only 420 or 296.
And he's going to get paid
till he's 51.
Hell yeah.
There's a basketball one too. And you might be able to think about it. Think about who got a crazy big deal early before the big deals were big deals.
Oh, yeah. The problem is the max contracts that blew up after the TV deal a few years ago.
Kevin Garnett got his final payment.
Of course, KG.
Of $5 million this year. And it'll net him an additional $35 million even after it netted him a $35 million after his career was over.
What about the AI trust? That was the real smart thing. Like, these guys backed into a trust, but AI's money got put into one.
Yeah, he got saved from himself, which was being a really cool friend. Really cool. Someone like was looking out for him, and that's good. And now he looks out for the young guys in the league, and I like that a lot, too. I like AI and his unk phase. Like, it's a good thing.
I've always thought he was
pretty awesome. All right, so that's High Noon. We do it every day around this time. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll see what Leisure and Tony Gill come up with.
You need to talk to Tony about his any food item over $20 is a vice.
Yeah, but then concept. I took him to get a real steak, and he was like, "Oh, I get it now."
You did the right thing.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong. Like I say to him all the time, there's nothing wrong with Outback. Nothing. Not a thing. But then I took him to Gibson's. And then he took one bite and he was like, oh, got it.
Ah, Gibson's.
Yep.
I love it there.
Oh, yeah. It's the time of year at Gibson's where I could get that strawberry shortcake.
It's the time of year at Gibson's where you can sit on the patio.
That's what I'm saying. They do strawberry shortcake as a dessert in the summer.
If you want to know where some of my part-time money goes on this here station.
It goes there?
To the family of restaurants.
All right. It's a good choice. Let's take a break. When we come back, Sahadev Sharma is going to talk to us about everything that's wrong with the Cubs. We'll do that next here on The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
We try to talk about baseball, but then we started talking about how hip-hop has turned 50 and house has turned 40, and that has been the overarching theme of this Independence Day show. Just in the break, we were talking about Joel McHale and the Bear.
Yes, because I haven't watched the Bear.
He's not that guy in real life, but man, can he play that guy.
Yeah, apparently he's a great guy in real life.
Yeah. Acting. It's a thing.
Genius!
Business decisions were discussed. Why your favorite player may decide he's out for the season because he probably had a problem and there's no use fighting anymore sometimes. You got to fight your battles and pick and choose them and whatnot. You know, also lose the battle, win the war type of thing. We're in the darkest Cubs timeline, speaking of Joel McHale shows.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
And that's it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Sahadev Sharma is going to join us at noon.
Also, Murka.
Murka.
It's starting to get a little sunnier out, but I feel like I am smart for working today because I can't be at a pool.
Yes, you are.
Wee! Oh, and NASCAR. And we have a lot of NASCAR coverage on NBCChicago.com, too, if you need some info beyond our casual discussion.
So, hit the thing, Alex. The high noon.
Yes, Miss Wiles.
So you know how this time of year we all celebrate Bobby Bonilla and Bobby Bonilla Day because he gets his $1.2 million every July 1st and he's still got, I think, another 12 years or whatever of that money coming in.
You know what's also funny is it took the massive Mets payroll for me to not think about it as much.
Yeah.
Like, it took the current Mets payroll for me to be like, oh, this isn't that much anymore.
Well, he's not the only guy that's still getting deferred contract money. Get this. One of those deferred contracts ended this year. Ken Griffey Jr. got $3.59 million of deferred money through 2009, per year, through 2009 through this season.
What?
Yeah.
From who?
From the Reds. Because remember he signed that massive deal with the Reds?
Oh, yeah.
Manny Ramirez is still on the books.
For whom?
For the Red Sox. He had an 8-year, $160 million deal. Part of that deal was that $32 million was deferred. So he gets $2 million every year until 2026.
Yeah, Manny.
Matt Holliday.
Whose son is Jackson.
Yeah, the Holidays are trying to take over baseball. He got a deferred contract from the Cardinals, and it started paying him in 2020. He'll get $1.5 million between now and 2029.
So Matt and Jackson Holliday are both on MLB payrolls.
Isn't that crazy?
Okay, LeBron.
Another star from our era, Layla, Todd Helton, just stopped getting deferred payments last year.
But does he still have that cool restaurant at Coors Field?
Probably.
Or Bar and Grill, whatever it is.
And was Peyton Manning's backup quarterback, right?
And is in the Hall of Fame.
He was getting deferred payments from 2014 through 2023. Max Scherzer has some deferred payments. $15 million of deferred payments from now until 2028.
From everyone, because he's been on a million teams.
Get this, Brett Saberhagen.
What?
In December of 1991, Saberhagen was traded to the Mets, and his tenure with the team was disappointing for the most part. similar time frame as like Bobby Bonilla, the Mets ownership getting Ponzi schemed.
Oh, yeah, the right? Wilpon.
Yeah. So Saberhagen is going to receive $250,000 until 2029.
That's it, man.
He got 25 years of deferred payments from the Mets. And Chris Davis.
That's the way to go. Be sneaky about it.
Chris Davis will receive $3.5 million annually in deferred payments from now until 2032.
My word.
In addition, Davis will receive another $1.4 million from 2033 to 2037.
That Baltimore contract went down like that? That's how they like deflated that balloon?
Yes. He'll be getting money from them until he's 51 years old.
For like what? Two good years of production?
Yes.
How many years of production did he
have? Well, I mean, his production was great the whole time. It just looked ugly.
No. The last couple years of that were real bad. He went like 0-for-50, and I love him.
Yeah,
like,
but
I was
then
a fan of his.
He would always end up, because there were the two Chris Davises, right? And they both kind of did the same thing.
Well,
and the other Chris Davis hit 247 like 4 years in a row.
But Baltimore Chris Davis was a world beater. Like, he had power numbers beyond belief.
I think the other Chris Davis did, too. This Chris Davis had almost 300 home runs. And let's see what those last years, like you were saying.
No, there was a streak where he went, like, 0-for-50 or something.
The 18 really and 19 atrocious. Seasons were really bad. He hit 192, and he slugged only 420 or 296.
And he's going to get paid
till he's 51.
Hell yeah.
There's a basketball one, too. And you might be able to think about it. Think about who got a crazy big deal early before the big deals were big deals.
Oh, yeah. The problem is the max contracts that blew up after the TV deal a few years ago.
Kevin Garnett got his final payment.
Of course, KG.
Of $5 million this year. And it'll net him an additional $35 million even after it netted him a $35 million after his career was over.
What about the AI trust? That was the real smart thing. Like, these guys backed into a trust, but AI's money got put into one.
Yeah, he got saved from himself, which was being a really cool friend. Really cool. Someone like was looking out for him, and that's good. And now he looks out for the young guys in the league, and I like that a lot, too. I like AI and his unk phase. Like, it's a good thing.
I've always thought he was
pretty awesome. All right, so that's High Noon. We do it every day around this time. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll see what Leisure and Tony Gill come up with.
You need to talk to Tony about his any food item over $20 is a vice.
Yeah, but then concept. I took him to get a real steak, and he was like, "Oh, I get it now."
You did the right thing.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. Like I say to him all the time, there's nothing wrong with Outback. Nothing, not a thing. But then I took him to Gibson's, and then he took one bite, and he was like, oh, got it.
Gibson's.
Yep.
I love it there.
Oh, yeah. It's the time of year at Gibson's where I could get that strawberry shortcake.
It's the time of year at Gibson's where you can sit on the patio.
That's what I'm saying. They do strawberry shortcake as a dessert in the summer.
If you want to know where some of my part-time money goes on this here station.
It goes there?
To the family of restaurants.
All right. It's a good choice. Let's take a break. When we come back, Sahadev Sharma is going to talk to us about everything that's wrong with the Cubs. We'll do that next here on The Score.